Los Angeles, California. We do the Young Turks. It's a talk show, as was pointed out, and I also blog on Huffington Post. I'm going to talk to you about what I view to be the golden age of the Internet, though we're getting near the end of it. But first, I'd like to make a comment about the two other speakers. First, Wikipedia is amazing. We did this 99-hour show on some political topic in America a couple of months ago on our show. We went 99 hours straight. I'm going to do that again right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do it. At the end of it, we checked Wikipedia, and it said the Young Turks that were made famous for their 99-hour show. I said, I didn't realize we were made famous, but it was up there right away. And one day we're doing another show, and I say in the middle of it, you know, there's a common misconception because of my blogging that I'm an atheist, and because I hate all the religions, and I think they're absurd. But I'm actually not an atheist. I'm an agnostic, because I don't really know what's going on. And I just know the religions are wrong. And at the end of the show, again, for whatever reason, I wound up on Wikipedia, and right, it said Cenk Uygur. It used to say Cenk Uygur is an atheist. Now it said Cenk Uygur is an agnostic. And that was amazing. So God bless Wikipedia. Now, as Valerie pointed out, a concern about privacy and so much information on the hands of government and corporations, don't worry, the American government is in charge, and they would never violate your privacy. That's definitely a joke. They unfortunately violate it every single day. And that's what we talk about on the show. All right, now, why do I think we're at the golden age of the Internet, especially in what we're talking about here with consumers versus professionals and how they interact? Because when I first started, my career is a good example of how we've moved models. We'll probably move again, but right now we're in the good model. When I first started, it was about 10 years ago. I was a lawyer. I hated it. I thought it was intensely dull. And I wanted to get out, and I wanted to start doing talk shows. And when I started that, there were gatekeepers. And we talk about gatekeepers all the time. The gatekeepers were you had to convince the program director at the time I wanted to do radio at radio stations to take you on. And unfortunately, the gatekeepers are often, how shall I put this impolitely, stupid, especially in radio, but also intensely so in television as well. And in radio, they don't have much of an education, and they have, you know, one of them once sat me down and told me Radio 101. It's the most absurd thing I ever heard. But he went through a list of things to do and not to do, and they were all wrong, and he said, you have to do it this way. And it was a station in Florida, and I went on there, and I violated every single one of the rules. And it was, I think, and from the reaction of the audience, an entertaining show, because what we're supposed to do is entertainment. But it didn't matter to the program director how the consumer felt about it. He was entertained, not entertained, didn't matter. Broke his Radio 101 rules. So I was never invited back. Now, with the Internet, you have something completely different. You can go tell that radio program director to screw off, because you're going to do your own show. And now, it's not easy. It's not by any stretch easy to get people to come and watch you or listen to you or to read you. But it's possible, whereas it wasn't possible before. You couldn't start your own radio station. You know, it would take tens of millions of dollars, perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars, especially if you want to do television. Now we started it, and it's right there, and apparently on a commercial break. And it didn't take that kind of money at all. When I first started this website, it wasn't video, it wasn't audio, it was just my articles. And it was, again, we were starting the Internet age right about then, about 8, 9 years ago, and it was a big fat picture of me and a couple of articles. It was silly, but it was a start. And we built it, and the more capacity that technology allowed for, the more we put on there. So then it allowed for audio, easier audio, so we put audio on there. And then about 6 months ago, we were really, really frustrated that in America, the cable news stations, first of all, weren't doing news. You know, they were doing silly stuff like Michael Jackson's trial, there's a blonde girl missing in Aruba, let's cover that 24 hours a day. You know, the world's on fire, and they're talking about a missing girl in Aruba. I mean, I feel bad for her, but how about the fact that we were lied into a war? You want to cover that? No, nothing. How about the fact that America all of a sudden is torturing people? That's not news, but a missing girl in Aruba is news? It's absurd. But the barrier to entry there is enormous. You have to either get past the really unintelligent gatekeepers, or you have to set up your own $100 million TV station. And our listeners, and we do a lot of listener interaction, and the reason for this website is also listener interaction, because they talked to us and they asked us to do certain things, and we responded, and we gave it to them. And one of the things they kept saying is, hey, why don't you just start your own TV show? Now, you're on the radio, we'll listen to you, it's great. You know, put a couple of cameras in there, it's doable. And I'd always wanted to do this. Back in 97, I wrote to my friends, you know, I think TV and the Internet are going to combine, people should do that. They yelled at me, said, oh, you're crazy, that's not going to happen for another 20 years. And then about 6 months ago, well, no, actually about a year ago, we're at a diner with a friend, and I say, you know, I'd love to do this eventually, and our listeners keep asking for it. And he's a very technical guy, very smart guy. He says, you know what? You can. You can do it right now. I said, really? What happened? He said, broadband happened. And in broadband, you can get things a lot quicker. So video that used to be slow and hard to watch, all of a sudden, it's very simple. And you just turn on a couple of professional-looking cameras, and you're good to go. Now, a lot of people talk theoretically. At the Young Turks, we like to act. We like action. So I said, all right, I like it. We're going to start tomorrow. And we went and bought cameras. We bought four cameras. We went look for office space because we need a bigger space. We got the bigger office space. We moved in there. We got what is a pretty bad set that you know, if we ever get past the commercial break, you'll see. But we started. And if you look, if you wait for something to be perfect, you'll keep waiting and waiting and waiting. You just, if you want to do anything, whatever it is on the Internet and in interaction, whether you're a consumer or professional, just do it, okay? I know it's a cliche come up with, you know, Nike and Nike commercials, but it's also true, and I'm positive somebody came up with it before Nike did. Just do it. And so we did it, and we got up, and all of a sudden, we have a TV show, and we talk about how the Bush administration is awful. And we talk about it every day, and next thing you know, not only do we have a national audience, we have an international audience. People keep emailing us or calling us from Paris and Holland and Tunisia and Singapore and Hong Kong and Australia and saying, oh, thank God, there are sane people in America. We thought we had lost you all. But it's good to see some of you are rational. And look, if there is, and the Internet is a great, great free market right now. They're looking to shut it down, and I'll explain how in a second. But as long as the free market exists, if you do something that people are interested in, believe me, they will come. They will come. Yeah, another American cliche, Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner. If you build it, they will come. It's true. Now, we met a need here. People started coming. And where some other people know me from is Huffington Post, which a year ago started. Apparently, everything started just about a year ago. And it's a site that has news and a blog. It's both. And that's one of my blogs there. There's the homepage as well that has news and a blog. And what's interesting about it is they claim that they're nonpartisan. That's a lie. They're liberals. They're on the left side. You know, like Fox News Channel claims they're nonpartisan. It's a grotesque lie. They're on the right side. But what happened was there was no outlet for liberal news, for left-sided news. So Huffington Post said, well, let's try it. And they put it up, and they started putting up headlines that were skewed towards the left and stories that were skewed towards the left, even pictures that were skewed towards the left. It's an old right-wing trick, and they said, why not do it on the left side? So they put up a picture of Bush looking goofy, which is very easy, and then put up the caption, and then they started having a lot of bloggers on the left-hand side. And so, you know, some of them were right-wing, but most of us were left-wing. You know, I'm not really left-wing. I'm a die-hard capitalist. I'm a former Republican. But these days, the Republicans are crazy. So all the rational people are considered left-wing now in America. there's the news part and there's the blog part right there on the left-hand side. Now, there's over 700 contributors, 750 or so contributors these days. It, you know, when we started in the beginning, there was less of us. Oh, look at that. I made the homepage. Okay. That's nice. I didn't know that. I posted it last night. So now there's an enormous amount of people, and what's great about